Getting into Eve, we've been talking about Adam and Eve and things, so we're going to skip that for now. And we're going to talk about a very important doctrine, and that is original sin. And once you, if these guys, okay, he's getting them there. Every one of these blanks has something very important, very few words, but very important for you to write down. And then you can take this home, you can study it and apply it. And I think it will help you. It's a good way to lead your relatives to Christ, because that's always kind of a hard thing to get started in a conversation, lead your relatives to Christ. Your friends, your neighbors, things like this. You can do this at a restaurant. I've done it sitting there. Sometimes you'll just take a piece of paper if you have one. I've taken napkins and just, not the cloth napkins, but just a regular napkin. And I've made this and led people to Christ that way. So before we get into the actual handout, I want you to understand what original sin is. And some of you know this, but it might be good review as we get in, and I'll show you why we need this understanding for leading people to Christ. The original sin refers to Adam's first sin in the garden. And now we hear that, but that's a lot of times that's about as far as some people go. They know that Adam sinned, and because of that, we're all sinners. But let's go a little deeper here. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man," okay, didn't say Eve, said by one man, that's Adam, "sin entered into the world." Now, you talk about people, and we covered this in our class here the other day, when people say that, well, when Eve said, God said that you're not supposed to eat it nor touch it lest you die. And God didn't say that. That was Adam. You just contradicted the word of God. She didn't say Adam told me this. She said, God said this. And accept it. God said it. If he didn't, she was the first sinner. Because she would have lied. And she didn't lie. God puts the first sin on Adam. That's why this first three chapters are a foundation for everything we believe throughout Christianity. So by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's the results. And so death had passed upon all men. Now notice that. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam's sin is the original cause of all of our problems, of all of our the wickedness, of all death and suffering, everything. So we have the sin nature. The sin nature. That's the inborn inclination to fallen humanity, all of us, to rebel against God. That's basically what it is. That sin nature is that inborn inclination of fallen humanity to rebel against God. This refers to the sinful nature passed down to and placed upon all humanity from Adam. Now, there's several things here. You have imputed sin. It's a doctrine of imputation, and I know that's a fancy word, but try to get a hold of it. The imputation, Adam's guilt, is placed on the entire human race. In Psalm 51, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." This is not saying that a husband-wife relationship is sinful, but it is that sin that is imputed by that human relationship. Every child is born in the image of that parent. And because of that, their sin is imputed. It is placed on. It is imputed to that individual, that child. It's laid on every man. That's why he said in Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many, the term many here, multitudes, not just a few, multitudes, the whole world. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Not the fact that they committed sin, but it has been, they have been made sinners by imputation. It has been placed upon them from their fathers. It was not a sinful conception, but through that imputed act of sin from Adam's disobedience, it is passed on to us. There's two different aspects in theology that we end up studying. It's the inherited sin. That's that sin nature. It's corruption passed down to our children. And we've seen some of this. We'll see in Psalms 51 and verse 5 and Genesis 5 and verse 3. In Genesis it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own image," or in his own likeness after his image, "and called his name Seth." So what's implied here? That every child is born a sinner on Satan's side. They are separated from God by sin. It's imputed to them. It's inherited. It's the principle of the continuing effect. I do something and it's going to affect something else. No man lives to himself or dieth to himself. What I do affects my wife. What I do affects my children. What I do affects my church. What I do affects the image that I project for our mission board or whatever you're talking about. What you do has a reflection on your business, your business partners. Whatever we do, it's that continual effect. Our sin is passed on to our children. Adam's sin was passed on and it affected his children. Even as Christians, our sin affects our children. Doesn't make any difference. Well, I got saved now. You still have flesh. You are still in the flesh and you produce what? Flesh. You don't produce spirit. You produce flesh. And so that sin that was on flesh, that was lost and separated, even though I'm saved, when I produce a child, he has produced a physical child, not a spiritually saved child. Okay? That sin is passed upon all of them. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations." That continual inherited sin. It also, not just in the wicked sense, but also in the righteous sense. When someone gets saved, there is the doctrine of imputation. We're still physical beings, but when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, he imputes his righteousness to you. So when you receive Christ as Savior, it didn't make any difference how knowledgeable you are, how good looking you are, whether you seem to be a good person or bad person. When you receive Christ, the righteousness of God is placed upon you. That's imputation. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When we get saved, he imputes his righteousness to us. Okay? That's the spiritual aspect. The physical aspect does not change. When I was a boy, I was helping my dad on the farm, and he backed the pickup up to a big truck. We was going to scoop out feed for go feed the hogs. And boy, I was excited to help dad, and he backed her up, and boom, he hit it. And I said, boy, I'd start jumping up there. Well, he come back again and cut that thing right off. When I had children, my children were not born with a crooked finger. Why? That's not imputed to him. The flesh is, sin is imputed, or salvation would be imputed when we receive Christ. But the physical aspects do not change. Okay? They're not imputed. Now, all of this, the imputed sin, the inherited sin, it's all kind of the same terminology, but there's specific differences in it. Now, I want you to get your sheet there. Everybody got the sheet. I want to make sure everybody got the sheet. Okay? All right. So I want you to start writing these things down. It's important to understand the doctrine of original sin so that we can win people to Christ. It's hard to start witnessing to your family members that are lost. They don't want to hear it. Same thing with coworkers and friends and neighbors and stuff. It's hard to get that conversation started. But if you'll do something like this, all you need is pen and a paper, or pencil and paper, or napkin, or whatever you've got, and you draw this out. Now you don't have to make all the lines and everything like that, but you'll see where I'm going. I don't put all of those lines down there. There's very few that I put, but I think it'll help you see where we're going. So you could start a conversation with something like, have you ever thought about this? Or maybe, Dave, I was thinking about something today. Oh, well, what are you thinking? What were you thinking about? And you say, you know, I was reading the Bible, and a lot of these kids, or you can use this, the kids come up and they'll memorize a verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we think that's foolish. That is the foundation. So as you start, I was thinking about this, in Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning. And I started trying to think my way through that beginning. You see, and you write that, you just take that and just divide your paper in half with your pencil. And then you go ahead and you make that next mark. More across the top, down about an inch, maybe 2 inches, something like that. And that's all you have for now. You say, well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So I was thinking, God's side. Okay? We have God's side here. And notice, he makes or creates, the Bible says he created Lucifer and the angels, Satan, whatever you want to call him. You don't have to write all that down, but that's the concept that we're talking about here. Okay? Does anybody have a problem so far? No. There's no controversy. There's no nothing. So some of the angels, the Bible said, some of the angels fell. They rebelled against God. They fell. They were cast out. Boom. And just make a little lightning bolt there. Okay? So now what do we have? We have Satan's side and God's side. And now that we have Satan's side, on that side we have Lucifer or Satan and some angels. So whose side are they on? They started out where? That is a question. They started out on God's side. But because they rebelled against God, because they sinned, they went, and now they're Satan's side, and they're there. So God then creates Adam and Eve. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand this and know this. All of us know this. God created Adam and Eve. Well, that's pretty good. But Adam and Eve fell and were put out of the garden. Now, so where are Adam and Eve? They're on Satan's side. Do you see what you're doing here? By drawing two simple little lines, and you can put just angels or Satan and little lightning bolt and go to the other side and say, okay, this is Satan's side now, and you have Satan and his angels. Adam and Eve were created. They were on God's side. They fell, and they went to Satan's side. Now, at this point, I want you to show them the cross. If they haven't noticed the cross, I want you to emphasize the fact that there is a cross here. That cross is the dividing line between Satan's side and God's side. Pretty simple, isn't it? You have two sides, God's side, Satan's side. Man fell, he's on what side? Satan's side. Now, God gave a promise of a redeemer in chapter 3 and verse number 15. He said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed and you know, the whole thing there. God made that promise that he was going to send the redeemer. That's what the cross is all about. And that blood sacrifice, that substitute that pays for the sin, that's that divider. That's where the cross comes in, all right? That separates us. So everyone must come through the cross. There's no other way to get back to God's side. Now, this is spiritual. When Adam and Eve got saved, their original sin was passed on to their children. Their children inherited their sinfulness. Sin is imputed at conception. Yes, God makes provision for babies, for mentally impaired people, for children up to the age of accountability that are not able to understand, and we could go all into that, but that's not the point this morning. There's all kinds of this stuff, and God takes all of this into consideration. God is a just God. He will not punish unjustly someone that does not understand. My little great-granddaughter, she doesn't understand. She has no concept of God or anything like this. She does not know about salvation. So God makes provision there for them. So you don't have to worry about them little babies and stuff. At what age does somebody come to the age of accountability? I have no idea. I do not know. For some, it may be 4. For some, it may be 5. For some, you just don't know. That's in God's hands, but you know, because he is a just God and he does not make mistakes, he will do everything in his power once they reach that age to get the gospel to them. Okay? So, just in light of all that, now, we come back to our outline here. You have Adam and Eve on whose side? Are y'all sleeping this morning? Hello? Satan's side. Okay, talk to me. So now Adam and Eve's got to get back, and the only way they can get back is through that blood sacrifice. God made the coats of skin, death, bloodshed. They accepted the coats of skin. They chose then to go back to God's side. They believed the promise of God's Redeemer that was coming for them. All in the Old Testament, the people had to believe God's promise. Christ hadn't come yet. The Messiah had not come yet. Bulls and goats can't take away sin. They shall simply show the picture of sin. Okay? So what they had to do was believe in the promise that God was going to fulfill what he promised. Now, understand this. And this is why it's so important to understand original sin. Because sin is inherited or imputed, all children are born sinners by sinful parents on Satan's side. Automatically, when they are born on Satan's side because they are sinners by imputation. They are sinners by inheritance. Doesn't mean they have to be wicked kids or wicked teens or wicked adults. They're not out robbing banks or something. They might be nice little kids. However, whose side are they born on? On Satan's side. So now, knowing that, we go on with our simple little story here. Cain and Abel were born. Both Cain and Abel were born lost. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've had people tell me I'm going to heaven because my parents are Christians. Cain and Abel both, as we would call it, had Christian parents. They had accepted the blood sacrifice that God had made. They were saved. But when they had children, their children were both born lost, and one of them went to heaven and one went to hell. So it makes no difference what your parents are. Don't make any difference if Uncle Joe is a preacher. Every child that is born on God's earth are born on Satan's side. Now, Abel made a simple choice. He believed God, and he believed God's promises. That's why he was making the sacrifice that he made of the calf, or the lamb rather, on the altar there. And that sacrifice, he chose God's side. He chose to believe God's promise, okay? However, we have Cain. Now watch what Cain does. Cain did nothing. He did nothing. By doing nothing, he stays on Satan's side. By doing nothing, you can hear the gospel many times, but until you accept it, until you believe it, believe the promise of God. How many of you ever seen Jesus? In Africa, I would not say that. You'd have hands. They're crazy. No, none of us have. Well, how do we know that he came? God promised in His Word that He came. He shows us in His Word that He did come, and we simply believe the promise of God just like Adam did, just like Abel did. We're simply believing in that Redeemer that God promised that He would save us from our sins. So Cain did nothing, and so he stayed on Satan's side. And there is no record that he ever come to Christ. So no doubt when he was on Satan's side, he died on Satan's side. And if you die on Satan's side, you are going to hell. Simple, plain, it's not hard to understand. Now understand something about Abel, or about Cain. He knew there was a God. Well, I believe in God. Well, so did he. He talked to him. He knew God. He knew there was a God. He talked, he had conversation with God. He says, well, I pray. Big deal. I read the Bible. Okay, so is Mormons. So Jehovah's Witness, so a lot of lost people read the Bible. That don't make you saved. You see, all of these things, by doing nothing, knowing who God was, knowing what God felt, what God said, he simply just did nothing and died on Satan's side. Then I come to this point. Me. And put yourself right there. Write your name out when you do it. This is me. Okay? I was born on Satan's side. How many of you realize that? You were born on Satan's side. We were born. Our father was Satan. You're of your father the devil, unless your father you will do. Sinners. So we were all born on Satan's side, and many even supposed Christians won't acknowledge that. Until you acknowledge that, there's no salvation. So when you're acknowledging that to the person, you're saying, look, I was myself born on Satan's side. Now, September 21st, 1975, Bethel Baptist Church in Rota, Spain, sitting on a little bitty old wicker chair meant for a kindergarten kid, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. I chose God's side. And God placed me into His side. We call that being born again. Born into God's family. Placed into God's side. Now, how about you? Bob, Jim, Susie, how about you? When did you make that decision to believe God and His promise that because you're a sinner, you're born on Satan's side, you are a sinner, and when did you receive Christ as your Savior? Going through the cross, allowing Him to place you on God's side. And then just wait there. Don't get in a hurry. Don't let the silence be, it's deafening sometimes. But let that soak in. Let it sink in. You can see that all children, from Adam and Eve all the way down, are born on Satan's side. That means that you, that means that me, every one of us are born on Satan's side. And only those who have believed the promise of God, of the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and come through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, can be born again, can have eternal life, can be placed on God's side. When did you do that? And then just wait. We try to run through people all this Romans Road stuff, and they don't have any idea what Rome and all this has to do with it. And we give them verses, and they really don't understand the verses. This is Genesis Road. This is God's Road. We don't deal with people usually out of the New Testament so much over in Africa because they don't know anything. Well, look around you out in the world. They're not doing so hot. They don't know nothing. So go back to Genesis and the very basic story that everyone, they'll be familiar with the story. But you need to explain it and help them understand it. Most of what we do in Africa, they've heard some of these things, but they've never been able to put it together. And what we do as missionaries, we help them put it together to where now they can see it. And that's why you wait at the end for a bit, because it's all clicking in here. And it's starting to make sense. And those cogs are starting to go in and mesh together. Now, John, Bob, Bill, whoever, when did you believe the promise of God and come to God's side? Make that choice yourself. Because you know you're a sinner born on Satan's side. And to do nothing, like Cain, you will die without Christ. At that point, give them a little bit of time, but then you might ask them, wouldn't you like to have eternal life? Wouldn't you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Believe God's promise that he'll forgive you of all your sins and let him place you into his family on his side. All we have done, we have talked about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, you and me. That's it. Preaching the gospel is not that hard. And if you'll hone in on that first story of the Bible, I don't care if you're out on the farm, you might be out there and you might have a gunny or paper sack off of fertilizer or seed corn or something like this, and just rip off a piece and draw your line and say, you know, I was thinking about something. Tell me what you think. And you just start going, you know, in the beginning, God was there and he created Satan and his angels, and the angels fell. And now that created God's or Satan's side, and the angels are over here. And God created Adam and Eve, and they fell, and they chose Satan's side. They chose to believe Satan and not God. And every child from then, because sin is imputed, are born on Satan's side. And just like Adam and Eve had to receive that Christ as their Savior, they had to believe in the sacrifice that was coming. Just like Abel, he had to believe. Cain did nothing. Like me, I received Christ. You can walk your way through that thing so simply, and yet it is so profound that you can become a soul winner. You don't have to know all the verses in the Bible. You don't have to go to Bible college and things like this. Just that first story in the Bible. And you can become a soul winner. Just take that pen out. Take that napkin. You know, I was thinking about this morning. And you start and you will bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is not that hard. Now, I'm early. Any questions? I'll not go on because we'll mess up the rest of all these lessons and everything, but any questions you might have on this? You didn't go to Romans 3:23 and 6:23 and all of that. You can do that, and that will add weight to what you're saying from what other knowledge of the Bible you have. That's great, but you don't have to know all of that. You just have to know about Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and you have to know about Cain and Abel. Yeah. Sin was imputed when there was no law. The law of Moses had not come yet. But yet, because sin had been imputed to man, they were still judged. Because remember when Pastor covered a whole series on the judgment and the sin that was there before the law ever come? And I was going to go through that whole entire passage, but I just wouldn't have had time this morning to do it all. But you're right. That's a tremendous passage. You could go on and explain that if you have time. Okay, I can't hear you, brother. I'm deaf. When you get that whole thing in context, there is the doctrine of imputation. We know that because of Adam. And what he's talking about, sin was in the world. People had this concept that if there's no law, you didn't break a law. So you didn't sin. But because of imputation, without the law, you're still judged. You still sinned, and that's why man still died, even back before Moses ever brought, or God brought the law to Moses. And I know some of the terms are a little bit confusing, but when you get that whole thing in context, and you have to also keep that passage in context with the rest of Scripture, then you understand that that sin is there. It is passed on from one person to another. And that's what we call imputation. I'm sorry?
I guess what it's saying here in the next verse, none of us that remaining from Adam and Moses, even if we're doing that had not sinned.
Yeah.
Even though there wasn't a wall.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it is. It is. But it's a powerful passage, and some use it to go against it, but when you get the whole passage in context and everything, it really begins to make sense and continues to justify the doctrine of imputation. Some of y'all. If he'd not come, they wouldn't.
If I had not come, we'd have no.
Well, what he did by coming is expose their religiousness without. Yeah, yeah. Right. And he simply exposed it all.
Adam and Moses, I understand that Adam and Eve,
see a whole lot of the record of, except for Abraham offering some Isaac, that was almost offering a sacrifice and offering Abraham. But it's still the same. Each person throughout the generations from Adam to Moses had to offer a sacrifice.
Yeah, you'll notice Adam, he accepted. God is the one that killed the animals and shed the blood and bled the coats on them. Abel was offering a sacrifice. And Cain was offering a sacrifice, even though it was the wrong one. How did they know that? They had been taught that, obviously. You come down and you find Jacob offering sacrifices, Isaac offering sacrifices. You have sacrifices all the way through up until the law. Now, when he comes to the law and Moses and Israel, understand, Israel has been away from God for 400 years. They have been stooped in idolatry there in the country, and God had to reestablish the concept of worship and directing them to who he was. And that's why the tabernacle was so important, that everything then pointed to that one sacrifice. And that's why when Jesus was crucified, the veil was rent. No more sacrifice. And sacrifice ceased then. You talk to a Jew now, they don't make sacrifices. Well, how you can get sin forgiven if that's what you believed in the Old Testament? And they have no answer, really. Yeah, they just mumble jumble. So sacrifices were always there, but it simply was pointing to that true sacrifice of Christ. But whether there was a sacrifice or not, the sin was imputed. That's why Cain, the sin was imputed to him. Even though he didn't believe or wouldn't believe or even give an opportunity, wouldn't repent, sin was still there. It was his. Why? Where'd he get it? It was passed on. It was imputed from his father. Even though his father now had been saved and his mom, they had received the coats of skin and everything. Even though his brother was saved and doing right and doing what God says, he said, I ain't doing it. The sin was imputed unto him, and he continued doing nothing as far as obeying God. And so when he died on Satan's side. And so it's if you understand these basic truths here, you don't have to necessarily go to Romans. There's a Revelation road, there's a John road, there's a Romans road, there's all these different roads. But they're getting some verses pulled out here about something that they have no idea what's taking place. So by bringing them back to the beginning, that everybody has a little bit of understanding, and you lay down those basic fundamental rules that sin was imputed to man. And every man that's born then on Satan's side is born lost. Then that places them where? On Satan's side. Lost. And there must be a time when they come back to God's side. And the only way to do that is through that cross, through Jesus Christ. And so try it on your wife, try it on your husband. If they get saved, wonderful. No, I'm kidding. But just try to walk your way through that with them, to where you get familiar with that, and within just a few days, you will be able to sit down, and you don't have to know all the rest of the Bible, just those very few things, and you can lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I think I'm out of time. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Ask, Lord, that you'd help us in this year to become soul winners. And Lord, that we might take these basic truths, the fundamental doctrines of Scripture, and use them to bring people to Jesus Christ. Lord, be Brother Joel, as he brings a message, Lord, help us that we might have open hearts, and Lord, you might change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.